Hello, welcome to the Kara Murray podcast. For the next 10 days, we will be doing a podcast mini-series all about your divine role as a Latter-day Saint woman. We will be discussing how we can become closer to Jesus Christ and how the Relief Society purpose statement and the Relief Society declaration can assist us in our work to become closer to our Savior. Hello, welcome to today's episode. I'm so thrilled to have Meg Tyer with me today. And if you don't know about Meg, I am going to make sure to put a link in the show notes so that you can follow her on Instagram. She is doing incredible things, and so I don't want you to miss out. Meg grew up in Eastern Washington. She's the fourth of nine kids. She's a returned missionary from the Virginia Chesapeake Mission, and since returning, she's had multiple opportunities to serve in her ward and as a member of the Relief Society presidency. Her and her husband just moved across the country to the Midwest. Very little thrills her more than having very raw gospel conversations and feeling the rush of sharing pure testimony. I'm so grateful that Meg has agreed to join us as we talk about divine roles as Latter-day Saint women in conjunction with the Relief Society purpose statement and declaration. Thanks so much for being here, Meg.
Yeah, of course. I'm super stoked. Thanks for thinking and reaching out to me. I appreciate it. I was super excited when you told me what you wanted to do this little podcast about, because I've been in Relief Society presidencies and I had the purpose statement down. Got it. I knew that. I didn't even really know that there was a declaration. So I'm glad that you gave me something more to study.
Yeah,
given me something.
It's like comparison with like the young women's theme, right? Like the purpose statement is short, mm-hmm. and I think we all kind of see that, but the declaration is a little bit longer and feels more like a theme, like the young women's theme type.
Oh, for sure. It really does just kind of give you like this uplifting, inspirational feeling. Like you're so motivated after you read it. I really, really like, let's see. Well, as I read that for the first time in my life, because you sent it to me, what I really liked was reading it in conjunction with the purpose statement and just kind of side by side, like they mesh super well. They go right into the other and they just elaborate each other. They kind of bounce off of each other. And it's a lot of words for saying just like really one simple thing. I'm an overthinker. And when I read this, I thought they like oversimplified life. I was like, that makes it sound a little bit too easy, because it really just comes down to our purpose as women is to learn about Jesus Christ and just be like him. Like, that's it. It sounds so easy. Why isn't it that easy?
Because we wouldn't be able to have trials if it was that easy, right? And get to know right, Jesus right. better. Life always sounds a little easier than it is anyway.
I know, everything, looking forward to things with super high expectations and a lot of anticipation, I feel like I just set myself up for like disappointment. This is going to let me down.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. So was there a line that stood out to you at all specifically, or like something that overlapped specifically with the two?
Yeah, there were a couple of things that I did really like. In the declaration, I read through that a lot of times, and I love the line that says that we dedicate ourselves to strengthening marriages and families, and our homes. Like it comes like we talked about how we need to learn about Jesus and become like Jesus, and it gives us the perfect segue into where we can apply it. Because while it sounds really simple, it's really broad. Like, be like Jesus. Like, what does that even mean, you know? And so this kind of gives us, this is where you implement it. You implement it in your marriage and in your home and with your family. And you just start there. And then as you expand and you become like Christ and you're acting like Christ, your natural inclination is just to like bring more people in as family almost. You're going to have all these relationships and have this influence on so many people that are going to look to you as a sister or as maybe another mother figure or something like that. And that's what God wants from us. He just wants everybody to feel loved and to experience the joy of loving others.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's key. Like, I think we overlook the opportunity to like love and care for others, whether it's our spouse or our kids or our neighbor. We're often like, oh, they're probably fine, or they're driving me crazy today. They don't need my love. I can't give it to them. Right. But I think
You don't deserve that.
right. Like sometimes, oh man, last night was a little rough with my kids, and we just had something got left on the stovetop after a timer had gone off, like no big deal, but it was like a little bit stressful once we all figured it out. And one of the kids had turned the timer off, and we were just kind of like, you got to make sure someone knows or recognizes that you turned the timer off, so we know, like,
Right.
especially the stove was still on and the thing was still cooking. And I just like the kid got annoyed. They're like, well, I didn't mean, like, anyways. And I was just like, you guys are so annoying. Like, I just want to run away. Why are you so mad about something so dumb? And I think sometimes that's how we react, and sometimes we're better at reacting with love. And it's learning that over and over again, that learning to react more like Jesus Christ, right? And overcome that natural man so that we can have that peace and strength in our home. And I think the more that we overcome the natural man and can love our kids and our families and our neighbors, and getting to know our neighbors if we don't know them, and inviting them and loving them, then that's where unity happens, and we can come together as children of Christ, even if we're not all in the same place or in the same situation, you know?
Oh, for sure. That can be a really hard thought for people. I'm kind of like an extroverted introvert, and that, like, at my core, I'm not super outgoing, big on meeting tons of people. But then when I get put in that situation, I love it. But like beforehand, I'm super anxious about it, not looking forward to it. And then I get there and I love it and it's so fun. And then I need to recharge afterwards. Like, I am drained by the end. My husband is the opposite. He loves people and is like energized when people are around him. And so he would work from home. And I am a clinical assistant at an orthodontist office. So I would shuffle through 15, 20 patients in a day and have like the same conversation 20 times. Like, oh man, it's still cold out there, you know? But then you have those really bright lights that are like, this is a good conversation. Like, I feel happy. I'm glad that I'm at work. I'm glad you came in. Things are looking good. Then I go home from work and I'm 10% of a person. I am so drained. And my husband has been like stuck in the office all day long. And he's like a puppy just dying for people. And I felt so bad. I was like, how can I keep just giving, giving, giving of myself when I'm so tired? And that is something that a lot of my friends have experienced. And we talk about it a lot. It's just, everything is so hard. I don't have any children yet, but my very best friend has two kids. And I went and visited her a couple months ago now. And like chaos just happens as it does. And there was like this really random, rough situation that they never had to experience before. I've never had to experience before with their little baby. And she came home, their baby was in the hospital, and she came home while her husband was there, and she was going to take care of the other child that I was just there with. It was like so random all of a sudden. And she came home, and I was just like, told her to sit on the couch, and I sat with her. And she was just telling me that it's hard to give and give and give. And like, you get to a point where you feel like you have given everything and God is still asking you to give. You're drained from the day, and then all of a sudden your baby needs to go to the hospital. And you're like, how could I possibly do this? And you feel like you're just living for everybody else. And so it's really easy to kind of lose your purpose, like your point of life, because you feel like it's for everybody else, which is a hard thing to manage. I don't know that Heavenly Father really explained that to us before we agreed to like come and do that. Like, I don't know that anybody was thrilled. Like, yeah, I want to go and I want to lose myself and just feel like dirt and like I want to go be drained.
Or maybe we just didn't fully comprehend what that meant, right? Like,
yeah,
we'll be like, it's gonna be this and this and this, and we'll be like, okay. Just naive we're to just what like, that yeah, actually meant.
Right. And then we come here and we're like, oh, wait, this is hard. Like, keeping the commandments, living like Jesus is really hard to do just on your own. And then you're surrounded by people who are trying to depend on you, and you feel like you can't even provide for yourself. And you just get stretched so, so thin so often. I feel like, especially as women, that's what it comes to, because you're in charge of keeping the house clean, and usually you're the one cooking dinner, and the kids come home from school and you're there to help them with homework, and everything is just so hard all at once, every day, same thing over and over. And you just kind of lose your mind a little bit. Because you're there living for other people. And a thought that has really helped me in a conversation that I had with that friend is that Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life, one that I am nowhere close to. But he came and he died for everybody, for other people. So I think the very least that we could do is while we have this gift of life that he's given us, is to emulate the same thing, is to share what we have for other people. Because he came and that ultimate sacrifice was for the benefit of everybody else. And that was his whole purpose. He knew that from the beginning. And we know that our whole lives is that Jesus came and Jesus died so that my life can be better. And all he asks is that we do a little bit to help everybody else's lives be a little bit better too.
Yeah, I love that. And in the declaration where it talks about strengthening marriages, families, and homes, I love that it talks about strengthening your families and home through ordinances and covenants. And I think it's important, as especially when you had to have kids and they're little, it's hard to make time to go to the temple. Or if you're further away from the temple, we just moved, and so we're much further away than we were
Hours
before.
away,
Yeah. But as we make time and make the temple a priority, even if it's just every once a quarter or swapping babysitting with someone, as we make the temple a priority or take time to learn and remember the covenants and ordinances that we've made, especially in the temple, but also at baptism, we will also be able to be strengthened so that we can get through those hard times, whether it's with a spouse or with kids. Or with understanding how to help our neighbors as we strive to want to strengthen them and really put our efforts and sometimes feel completely overcome and overwhelmed. As we remember those covenants we've made, I think it goes hand in hand with our ability to feel the Savior lifting us up and giving us that extra strength to be able to keep going because it's just different. Like I have teenagers mostly now, but when my kids were little, I literally would go into my closet. I would lock my bedroom door and I would go around the corner into my walk-in closet and I would just cry and I would just pray and it'd be like, why did you do this to me? Like my kids are really close together. I have like six kids in like 7 years. And so I just had a lot of toddlers, a lot of little
Just
tiny
all the
people.
time.
And it
Oh
was
my
really,
gosh.
really
Oh, the
overwhelming
diapers.
sometimes.
Holy cow.
I only ever had two at a time. I like made sure they were potty trained. I was like, we are not doing this. But it was a lot sometimes, and it was really lonely sometimes. And it was just so overwhelming. And I would just be like, I need you to give me something more to get through the end of the day if I'm supposed to be doing this, because it was just a lot. And now it's just different. The problems are different. I don't need to like help them get dressed anymore, but there's other things that are just hard. And so I think we need to continually recognize when we're feeling depleted and making sure that we're going to the right source and taking time to like take a breath, but also taking time to spend with Jesus. Because when we spend time with him, we can recognize him and his love and his spirit, and we can know that he is with us, lifting us and strengthening us in those times of need.
Yes, for sure. I really love the thought that President Nelson shared kind of in the middle of the whole pandemic. He said, like, maybe this is a good time for us to realize the things that we don't really need, and we can cut out kind of the extra and come back to our priorities, to the things that we know we ought to be doing. And right before the pandemic started, I had studied and finished a dental assisting program in a place where I was kind of surrounded by temples. It was like pretty heavy populated, and I could go visit all of these temples. And so every weekend, I was there in a new place all on my own. And I would just spend every Saturday morning in a temple, in a new temple all around the county. And then, the pandemic hit and the temples were shut down. And my mom is like my temple buddy. We just love talking all churchy Jesus temple things. And so I called her and I told her, I was like, they just closed down all the temples around me. Like, what am I going to do? And she was really sad for me. I would send a little selfie every week, be like, oh, this week I was in the Mount Timpanogos Temple or whatever. And I would just send a new picture every weekend. And so she knew that it was something that was becoming really, really important to me. And it was something that was becoming increasingly important to her too, because she wanted to be there to help me kind of understand things and to have similar experiences, even though we were apart from each other. When they still were opening forever, she told me that she had just kind of gotten into the habit of like reading the temple. And she would like make a quiet spot, start with a little prayer, and just read through the similar verses of the creation and go back to the very fundamentals of who is my heavenly father and who am I to him. And she would just kind of read through verses in the Bible or verses in the Pearl of Great Price that were similar to the temple, and would have like a really spiritual experience just on her own. Like, she didn't need a temple to facilitate the holy place for the spirit in that moment. She could kind of create her own holy place. And I think that is going to look different for everybody, for sure. I love that idea. I have loved the times that I have done that, and I have read the temple, like she says. But there are so many times where you just are in your closet and you're just brought to your knees and you're just saying, I need a little love, Heavenly Father. Or you're in your car and you're livid at your boss and you just say, I need a little love, Heavenly Father. And when you invite that spirit, when you slow down and quiet things out and you invite that spirit, God will tell you time and time and time again that you are his daughter. And that thought just like stills me every single time.
While you were talking, I had to look this up. So the course that I created, the Your Divine Role in the Latter Days, is based on the sisters' participation in the Gathering of Israel that President Nelson gave October 2018. And the fourth invitation was to study the declaration. But his third invitation was to study, he says, third, establish a pattern of regular temple attendance. This may require a little more sacrifice in your life. More regular time in the temple will allow the Lord to teach you how to draw upon his priesthood power with which you have been endowed in his temple. For those of you who don't live near a temple, and I like to think this invitation would also be offered to those who can't attend the temple because you have babies and toddlers or no one to watch them or whatever. For those of you who don't live near a temple, I invite you to study prayerfully about temples in the scriptures and in the words of living prophets. Seek to know more, to understand more, and to feel more about temples than you ever have before. So I think that goes hand in hand with what we're talking about is we can't always make it to the temple, and we all know that now. But if you can't take advantage of a temple, because of life situations, health situations, or distance situations, we can study in the scriptures and still have a really powerful experience. And we can study from living prophets. There's been a lot more talking about in general conferences with the covenants that we make and different things. And so there's lots of opportunity to study the temple. And when we do that, we're only going to strengthen our relationship, not only with Jesus Christ, but with those that we love and live with. So, hey, well, thank you so much, Meg. I appreciate you coming on and talking and sharing your thoughts with us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I'm sure that if we wanted, we could go for hours and hours and hours and never stop talking about this. But I am really glad that you reached out and that we had the chance to have this conversation. These are the things that I love and that are so dear to me, moments like this. So thank you so much, Kara.
I'm so grateful it worked out for you to come. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Don't forget to join the email list so you know when the Your Divine Role course goes live. Our email list will be given an opportunity to sign up first. It includes 12 plus course videos, a workbook that is 45 plus pages long, a community, and more. I can't wait to see you then.